This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.
Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's part two of our weekly broadcast where we answer your questions. Questions come to us to radioprogram@AOL.com. I'm here with Layla Mudin, who I work with on a daily basis at my practice here in Manhattan. And so let's hear this question. It's actually it's actually a bit of a statement.
It is, and it's terrific. This comes from Catherine. Dear Dr. Hoffman, over 3 years ago, I called your office, I called your radio show
wow,
to get advice regarding my bones. I had osteopenia for many years, possibly due to an eating disorder I had in my late teens, and it was getting worse. You recommended Ostera, Osteoprev, and strontium. I got the results from my last DEXA scan and could hardly wait to share the results with you. The improvement was significant. When my physician husband, a man not inclined to overstatement, saw this, he said, "This is remarkable." And Dr. Pennington, who runs the center, was also very surprised and impressed. In her experience, this just doesn't happen. So she's looking into these supplements now for other patients.
Well, that's very open-minded because
another
possible reaction might be that's a coincidence or...
Then we've had lots of coincidences, haven't we?
We're coincidentologists.
Right. We have actual case studies.
I feel like sometimes writing a book, Diagnosis, Coincidence. That would be
a good title
for a book.
We have, Catherine, we have many case studies of our own patients where we have seen, and you had osteopenia, which is reverse, which is wonderful. And by the way, she says, I never dreamed I would be able to gain the half inch in height that I'd lost and have stronger bones. I am so grateful. We have actual case studies of helping to reverse osteoporosis back to osteopenia.
Right. This is interesting because this is one of the few instances where the treatment with supplements is as robust as the treatment with medication. See, a lot of people prefer not to use medications because, well, they work, but the side effects are unacceptable. So they'd rather use supplements, even if the supplements aren't as strong in their effects. So somebody might use red yeast rice for cholesterol, and they're going to get some cholesterol reduction, but it's not as if they were taking 80 milligrams of Lipitor, right? But it's safer, they think, and there's less side effects. But here we actually have a treatment which is safer and as effective or in some cases more effective than the conventional treatments. So why, oh why, aren't we invoking these treatments? Well, I guess they come from the supplement aisle, and that's not a place where you're going to get, you know, strong corrective medication.
And, you know, the phrase freaky fracture comes to mind any time we're ever discussing the bisphosphonate medications.
Which is Actonil, Beneva, the Sally Field drug. I always think it's, you know, it's all this like flying that she might, you know, she's the perfect spokesperson because you're doing all that flying, the flying nun, you know.
Yes.
Flying nun's going to break something, right?
Right.
So she was great. And then there was the original Actonil,
Fosamax,
of course, and then a stronger version of it, which is Reclast, which is given intravenously.
I think another very famous actress, Blythe Danner, is doing one of those. I think it's Reclast, but it might be Prolia.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember.
Okay. Well, she kind of looks like a poster girl for osteoporosis.
Catherine, we're so very, very happy for you. And we're so very happy that your husband, the physician, gets to see this happen before his eyes as well and is very happy with the results. This is terrific. And, by the way, Catherine also does classical stretch. five mornings a week. This is on public television. Catherine says it's the best exercise program I've found.
She's not the host. She watches it.
She watches it. Okay. She watches it and wants everybody to check out classicalstretch.com.
I think that's a great idea.
Wonderful.
What, but it's probably on during the daytime.
Probably. And you could probably stream it.
DVR.
DVR it. Yep. You can DVD it as well. So wonderful. Keep up the great work, Catherine. All right. Good health to you. Now, let's see here. We've got an email from Michelle. I'm a 60-year-old healthy female, except for problems with periodontal disease since my 20s. Okay, wow. Michelle says, I now have so much bone loss that they needed to pull two of my teeth and are recommending titanium dental implants. This is my only choice as dentures and bridges are not an option in that area of my mouth. My question is about these titanium implants. I'm very concerned about having that metal in my mouth and unfortunately don't seem to have a better choice. Can you tell me your thoughts on having titanium implants? And is there anything I could do to stay healthy?
I can go even one step further. I have had a giant titanium implant in my body that I'm sitting in our office as we do this, and I'm looking at it, and it was about 28 inches long.
And it's amazing.
I framed it because it's such an interesting object. It's a big hunk of metal. Mm-hmm. And it costs hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, because it's carefully machined. And it was put into my leg when I broke my hip. And with the goal that it was going to stay in my body for the rest of my natural life. Mm-hmm. But I decided to have it taken out because I just didn't want a foreign body in my body. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, you know, part of it was there was a little place where I could sort of feel the edge of where it was inserted. And I just didn't like the idea of having something foreign in there. And I had it removed, and I'm fine after the removal. I often leave them in because you'd have to be run over by a tank to break that.
Wow.
You know, that's you're virtually break-proof after you have that installed in your leg. But it ran for all the way from my hip down to my, practically down to my kneecap, right down the center of the shaft of my femur.
And where the bone marrow might be?
Where the bone marrow might be. Mm-hmm. So, my thoughts are that this is a material that's been studied for its neutrality. In other words, you don't want to put in a copper implant because that's going to react. And you don't want to put in an iron implant because literally that's going to react. This is a type of metal that's very unreactive. Mm-hmm. Nickel is notorious for causing reactions, and nickel is part of an alloy sometimes used in for steel, even stainless steel. However, if you look carefully in the scientific literature, there are accounts of allergies to dental metals. And I'm reading from a French medical journal. I can't claim to be translating directly from French. It's actually translated into English. Allergies to dental metals, titanium, a new allergen. They say that oral allergies are underdiagnosed by dental health professionals. Well, that's true. But there are holistic or integrative dentists who are much more attuned to that. And they sometimes test for compatibility. Mm-hmm. They actually will... I don't know how reliable that test is in predicting an allergic reaction because... but there is a type of test that can be done to assess whether you have the potential to react. Again, I don't know. It's 100% reliable. Patients with oral allergy complain of various symptoms, such as burning or tingling sensations with or without oral dryness or loss of taste, or of, and here's the more insidious part, of more general symptoms that are systemic, such as headache, dyspepsia, that would be upset stomach, asthenia, which is like weakness, arthralgia, and myalgia. The signs of oral allergy include redness, swelling, purplish patches on the palate, oral ulcers, gingivitis, inflammation of the gums, geographical tongue, angulocheilitis, which is around the sides of the mouth, lichenoid reactions on the oral mucosa, that's little white patches.
Allergy to gold, included in dental prosthesis, has been well documented since the 80s. Recently, titanium used in orthopedic devices and oral implants, considered an inert material, can induce toxicity or allergic type 1 or type 4 reactions.
Wow.
These reactions to titanium could be responsible for unexplained successive failure cases of dental implants in some patients. The risk of an allergy to titanium is increased in patients who are allergic to other metals.
Mm-hmm.
In these patients, an evaluation of allergies is recommended in order to exclude any problem with titanium medical devices. We stress the importance of a multidisciplinary approach to take into account patients with an oral allergy with participation of specialists from dental and dermatological fields.
Wow.
So, it's in the literature. It can happen. It doesn't happen very often.
That would be quite the dilemma.
There's also tests, and this test is not available in New York. Mm-hmm. Characteristically, New York is very...
a police state?
Yeah, well, you know, editorial comment aside, it's very restrictive in terms of innovative tests. And the Melissa test is a test that can be performed to assess the potential for allergy. Again, not 100%, but if you go to the website MELISA, it's not spelled like a girl's name. It's MELISA, .org, melissa.org. And the drop-down menu leads you to titanium, so it's melissa.org/titanium.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about titanium allergy. And, they list the studies, and they have... on a patient testimonials page, you can read about two young people who recovered from their serious health problems after being diagnosed with titanium allergy.
Wow.
And having their titanium implants removed. So, you know...
That's fascinating.
You know, when you get a little older and, you know, your body is achy and, you know, things are happening, you know, you just wonder, is it, you know, what's going on?
Hmm.
This is a good point to offer our... sponsors an opportunity to share this message with you, so here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Okay, folks, thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make this podcast a free resource available to you on a regular basis. So... please patronize our sponsors and support them.
Coming back to those titanium implants.
Yeah.
It would also not be great for anybody suffering with an autoimmune condition, would you say?
Yes. Those might be people who are particularly predisposed.
Yeah.
So if you have, say, a lupus-like condition, a positive ANA, some sort of autoimmune condition that might be...
yeah.
Or say already you have multiple allergies, multiple chemical sensitivity, chronic fatigue syndrome. You know, these are people who might be at higher risk of trouble.
Right. Michelle, just a comment. Michelle's a 60-year-old female who's had periodontal disease since her 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Periodontal disease can be resolved if you take care of it. So I would implore you, please, to follow up with your periodontist. Go for cleanings. If you're a smoker, stop.
Mm-hmm.
That's a
and
big
it is
one.
And it is a nutritional disorder.
Yeah.
So that you know, higher doses of vitamin C are helpful. There's some suggestion that coenzyme Q10 may be helpful.
Lots and lots and lots of it.
And also the use of, once again, we mentioned in part one, the use of xylitol mouthwash and chewing gum.
Mm-hmm.
This could be, and toothpaste.
Yeah.
The Spry Dental Defense System. They're related to one of our sponsors, Clear, which is a nasal spray containing xylitol. It has an antibacterial effect and it's been shown to be helpful in periodontal disease.
Yeah. Best of luck to Michelle. Okay, we've got an email from Mark. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I heard you talking about bone broth in Q&A. You touched on it briefly. I had pretty severe elbow tendonitis for years, and I just couldn't get it to heal. I read an article online from a doctor that said, if you want to get rid of tendonitis, you must drink bone broth. Well, after a few months of bone broth, my tendonitis got better, and it's almost perfect since.
Okay.
That's great. I drink bone broth now almost every day, and I use it in cooking. Dr. Kate Shanahan, in her book, Deep Nutrition, wonderful doctor, Deep Nutrition talks about the benefits of bone broth in detail. Maybe you should promote it.
Well, that's a good
point,
and we do promote it.
And we do promote it.
It is probably the best natural source of bioavailable collagen.
Yes.
And, you know, they sell collagen formulas. They can be rather expensive. I think it's best to make your own bone broth from leftover bones.
You know, it's easy enough to do. You simmer it for
several
hours.
Get a crock
pot. Not a day or two.
You know, I just walk away from it, electrical crock pot. They're safe. I leave the apartment and I come back, and, you know, 2 days later, I've got, you know, delicious soup stock, which, you know, you don't have to, if you don't like the flavor of bone broth, you know, you can use it as a soup stock. It's a great.
Cook your vegetables in it.
Yeah.
Cook your cauliflower and make cauliflower mash with it, or cauliflower
rice. I will comment on that, though. And, you know, I think this is an N-of-1 study, and it may, it's certainly plausible that this is the answer to this person's problem. I'll note that tendonitis can be self-limited.
Yeah.
So that sometimes doing anything, you know, I stood on my head, you know, in gravity boots for 6 months, and my tendonitis improved. There may be a sort of a natural course.
Yes.
Where the tendonitis
that it
runs
was going to heal
course.
Anyway.
Yeah. So, however, it's certainly advisable and plausible. Other things that can help tendonitis, I believe that curcumin can be helpful.
Yes. Boswellian fish oil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wonderful. And drinking your bone broth, Mark. That's terrific. That's great. The power of nutrition.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Mark. All right. We have an email from, I don't have a name, regular listener here. Question for Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Quick question on olive leaf extract. Will it kill healthy cells or bacteria in the body?
Hmm.
And I just received, I just got via FullScript some olive leaf. And I believe that, don't you think that it also kills off good bacteria in the gut?
Well,
and that you need to take probiotics around the same time?
It's even with the strongest antibiotic, it doesn't kill off everything. So this is milder by many degrees of magnitude. And there probably is a little bit of a selective kill of some of the bacterial overgrowth in a kind of a homeostatic effect to the gut. I mean, I guess it's possible if you know, take a whole bottle of it, you could kill off good bacteria. But I think what you're going to do is you're going to have a sort of a inhibitory effect on the bacteria and not a, you know, like a massive kill-off like an oil tanker in... you know, in a pristine lake or something like that, you know, like a chemical spill.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it probably is advisable when you're using anything to suppress the growth of harmful bacteria. And we do have formulas that do that. One is called Candibactin.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually two versions of it, Candibactin AR and Candibactin BR. These are microbicidal herbs.
Yeah.
So among them are oregano, which kills a lot of bacteria, and rosemary, berberine, and other things. Black walnut has that property, also a property against fungus and parasites. But they seldom eradicate everything.
Yeah.
They have a more gentle effect than antibiotics, and that's why we prefer to use them.
Hence the synergy in using many different...
Right.
This is often helpful.
Another one we use is called biocidin, which is a very strong purple thing. It's purple because it contains a lot of gentian, which is a very bitter herb that is not microbicidal, it's bacteriostatic.
Hmm.
Cidal means kill, like suicide.
Yeah.
And static means it sort of kind of suppresses, but doesn't have kind of broad swath of destruction in the gut.
Hmm.
So these are sort of gentle regulators, I believe, more than, sterilizers. They don't sterilize the gut.
Okay.
But that's a good question. And it's the same, you know, but mostly if you want to change, so how do you change your flora? That kind of speaks to this question.
Yes.
So how do you, say, you know, we talk about the microbiome, you've got a lousy microbiome, how do you change your microbiome? Yeah. So number one, you change your diet.
Yes.
Because you change the fuel that fuels the growth of the bacteria. And mostly what we're talking about is eliminate sugar, eliminate chemicals, eliminate artificial sweeteners, and have a lot of healthy fiber. It turns out soft, soluble fiber is better than, you know, this you know,
than the
sawdust.
Exactly, than the
cellulose.
Than cellulose, because the soluble fiber is going to behave a little more
it gets eaten by the bacteria,
right.
And it promotes the growth of good bacteria.
Yes.
Okay, so number one. Number two, you repopulate with good bacteria. So you can eat fermented foods and or take probiotics. So that's another thing. So another strategy is you can suppress the growth of bad guys. Well, conventional medicine has drugs now. They have Xifaxan, which is designed for SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth. It kills off the bad bacteria. But we prefer the natural things.
Right, right.
And finally, you can do a fecal transplant, which really reshuffles the deck there.
Yeah.
Introduces many species of hopefully beneficial bacteria, but it's a little like Russian roulette because you don't know necessarily what you're getting or how you're going to react to it.
Right.
Because some people get a great reaction. Some people, maybe because the donor wasn't perfect. The donors have to be carefully screened because we want them to be super healthy with a good microbiome.
And those who have used fecal transplant for instance, inflammatory bowel disease, have found that they need to do it again after many months or a year, 6 months or a year, that they need another fecal transplant because the effect seems to wear off. But it's interesting how with the fecal transplant, they tend to seed better in the large bowel.
And the reason they seed better than commercial probiotics is because they really are natural.
Yeah.
They are actually from the gastrointestinal tract.
Yeah.
They're from the gastrointestinal tract. So the probiotics sort of are a very narrow band of the sort of the soupy mixture of bacteria that are present in stool.
Yeah. Yeah. Fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you for your question. Do take your olive leaf extract. Again, it's good antiviral as well, antimicrobial.
And it certainly has cardiovascular benefits.
Yes.
Because it has brain benefits because there's oleocanthal, which is helpful for brain.
Yeah.
Blood pressure, arteries.
Blood sugar.
Cardiovascular prevention. Blood
acne.
Sugar. Yeah.
Acne. Wonderful for acne.
Yeah.
Definitely part of our protocol.
It's the delenolate part of the olive leaf that is the most important for the antimicrobial effect for candida and for bacterial infections and acne. We use high-dose olive leaf extract for our kids with acne or teenagers with acne and some young adults.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your question.
Right. And that just about concludes today's edition of Q&A with Layla. We thank you for your attention. If we mention products that you might find hard to access, they're conveniently there for your inspection and your purchase at drhoppin.com because you go to the store and there's a drop-down menu there. It'll prompt you to register for FullScript. FullScript has thousands of products that are beneficial with my specific recommendations for various conditions. So check it out. And that way, you'll help to underwrite this broadcast, and also you'll support your own health.
Thank you, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.